Wonderland.
Daddy, Daddy, help me now.
Oh, not again, the silly cow.
My hair's a mess. My dress is worse.
She's not going to make me speak in verse.
The fatal shooting of American star Ken Palitzsi had been a setback for Cinderella's producers, but a promotion for me.
But, Daddy!
What is it, dyspepsia?
I can't go to the ball like this.
I think you make a very good washerwoman.
But it's not fancy.
Overnight, I'd gone from broker's man to Baron Hardup, a move up the cast list and, with a bit of luck, the pay scale.
Just listen to them scream and shout. I'm off to the pub for a pint of stout.
And that was me till the slapstick kitchen scene, a pastiche of the Great British Bake Off, with me as Baron Hardup playing Paul Hollywood. As I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't find strangers baking cakes entertaining, I went up to my dressing room to do some research.
Bruschetta. Ciabatta. Focaccia. One-to-one adult chat line.
If I wanted an adult chat, I'd phone an adult.
I can't help being eternally youthful.
Oh, nurse, Walter Mitty needs his medication again.
What do you want, Francis?
We need to talk about Christmas.
That's a movie remake I didn't see coming.
I'm serious.
And I'm working.
I can smell the scotch from here.
I'm researching my character.
I didn't realise it was Mike Lee Cinderella.
Have you just phoned to bust my sorry ass?
I phoned because parties don't organise themselves.
Hang on, what party? Last I heard, it was a few people for Christmas lunch.
Yeah, well, few is a flexible term.
Exactly how flexible?
It's subjective.
This is not a tutorial.
It's a matter of context.
In the context of this party, on a scale from, say, us and your friend Izzy to, say, Glastonbury, how flexible is the term a few people?
I haven't done a final tot-up
There's going to be a tot-up?
I was vainly hoping you might help out a bit.
Well, we're doing shows right up to Christmas Eve, but I'm sure I'll be able to buy some crisps.
That's a start.
Or make my mulled wine.
Great, just not the weapons-grade stuff.
Please, Francis, when it comes to drink, leave it with me.
And are you slipping nicely into Baron Hardup?
This is a traditional family panto. We'll have none of your smut here.
To the impure, all things are impure. I must say, I'm a little disappointed not to see you in drag.
Yeah, you and me both. The dames get all the best lines, and I know I could make a better job of it than some I could mention.
Isn't Danny the dame's dame?
Danny's an artist. He's the real deal, from his violet wig to his size 12 stilettos. But Tad couldn't bounce a joke off a page if it was made of rubber.
Well, he's not an actor, is he?
I'm not sure what he is. As far as I can tell, he's primarily known for a haircut and being one knife short of a cutlery drawer. Incoming text.
You better go, in case it's Morris.
Yeah, do me a favour. He's far too busy ordering Fortnum's hampers for his A-list clients.
It wasn't from my agent, but a text from an unknown number. There were no words, just symbols. And you don't have to be a professor of semiotics to read general hostility into a red frowny face, thumbs down, and a gun. What I needed was someone fluent in emoji.
Charles, any news on Josie?
Nothing I've heard.
I keep hoping she'll walk in with some balmy story about a bloke she's been with.
Well, maybe she will.
Tell the truth, I'm properly worried.
No one had seen Josie since she failed to turn up at Kitty's Digs a few nights earlier. And now the police were treating her as a missing person.
This is so not like her.
How long have you known each other?
We were at Conti's together until she dropped out.
Why did she do that?
Well, you know, ambition. She was always in a hurry to grow up and start her career. So she bought a ticket to LA, said she'd be in touch. 6 months later, she was back and doing the rounds of cattle calls.
Sounds like she can look after herself.
That's the image she wants to project, but lots of kids have been knocked about, put on a tough act.
Was she knocked about?
Well, we all get battered by the business. Of course, she's always had the worst taste in men. Always actors.
You said.
And the worst sort. Self-obsessed, narcissistic, vain.
Yeah, I get the idea. Did she ever say any of them were violent?
I don't think so.
But you were close.
Very.
So she would have told you?
Oh, definitely. Probably. No, she would. Yeah, I'm sure she would.
You don't say I'm sure.
Well, I would have been until you told me she used a different name in the States, which is the first I've heard of it. Now I'm starting to question if I knew her at all. I think something must have happened in L.A.
Like what?
Well, all I know is the Josie who came back wasn't the Josie who went out. She was harder.
But you don't think she met Ken out there?
If she did, she never told me. And you said Ken didn't remember her as Josie, or what was it?
Willow Green. No, Ken said they'd never met, though the day she turned up in the pub, there was a look.
Look?
Like someone had walked over his grave.
Well, ever since we arrived in Margate, Josie was in really high spirits. Sorry, Charles. OK, guys, end of break. I better get on.
Sure. Oh, there was a reason I popped in. Someone sent me a text I wanted to run past you. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it.
Oh, who's it from?
No idea.
A bit threatening.
Well, it's probably my agent, then.
Or a wrong number. I'd just ignore it.
Yeah. When I got back to my dressing room, my new costume was waiting. And although it wasn't as much fun as a dame's costume, I was thrilled to read a faded label inside the brocade coat. Dick Whittington. Frankie Howard. Well, it was good enough for you, Frankie.
Hello, what?
Yes, who is it?
Sorry, wrong number.
Nay, nay, and thrice times nay.
Sorry?
Ooh, please yourself.
Is that you, Charles?
No, don't. It's wicked to mock the afflicted.
Oh, God, I suppose it was bound to happen one day.
I'm channeling Frankie Howard.
If that's Polari, don't tell me what it means. Right, I can give you 4, 3, 2 minutes max.
You phoned me.
Did I? Oh, yes, you're on my to-do list, but we'll have to make it snappy. I'm about to FaceTime L.A.
And you want to check my availability for a movie?
Cling to the dream, Charles. A bit of a situation, actually. Another client signed up for Game of Thrones, but had a psychodrama meltdown and wants to come home.
I'm available after January the 10th.
Oh, you're like a war profiteer.
Just trying to help.
Anyway, you're too tall.
I can
still... Too old.
I can age down.
Wrong sex.
I can...
She's 21 and mostly nude.
Okay.
I don't think the Throners would pay to see your scrawny cleavage.
Can't blame me for trying.
But the good news is I've managed to get your money up.
For Cinderella?
For that BBC poetry reading you did.
That was 7 months ago.
As I forcibly explained and told them, it's inexcusable to treat the talent like this.
Good for you.
They don't want to cross me.
No.
Not if they want to access my star clients.
And deflate.
Suffice it to say, after an exchange of increasingly heated emails, they agreed to increase your fee.
Great.
By £1.
Per minute?
Overall.
£1?
That's quite an achievement these days.
Remind me what percentage you take.
In the words of our once glorious leader, we're all in it together.
Some of us are in it more than others, and we're in it up to our necks. What about the Cinderella contract? Now I'm Baron Hardup.
Ah, your billing's moved up the posters.
My billing doesn't pay the bills. What about the money?
This is Maurice Skellen in London. Good to see ya.
What?
Conference call. Bye, Charles.
Once again, Morris had driven me to drink, followed by an austerity roll-up outside a chilly stage door. Trouble with emojis. They're heavy on inference, but light on context. I was trying to clarify what was meant by a knife, skull and coffin when...
Oh, really? Well, we'll see about that.
Whoa! Sorry, mate.
You all right?
Yeah, nah, I'm not at it, Goth.
Tad Mullish was the star of constructed reality soapumentary Sun, Fun and Form and Terror.
I could use a vape.
I can offer you a ciggy.
Nah, I've got one here. Somewhere.
Tad was all about the hair, and something serious must have happened for his sweep to have unswept.
Oh, that's better.
Smells sweet.
But not for pie. Man, I tell you, Tad is not happy.
Oh.
Not happy at all.
Oh.
Not one bit.
You sound pretty unhappy.
Oh, that's it, bruv. Unhappy that. You got it. Unhappy's about right. I'm proper unhappy.
We were becoming trapped in an eternal circle of Beckettian repetition.
Well, what's happened?
You see the posters?
No, not yet.
He led me round to the front of the theatre and pointed up at a garish poster. There was his huge grinning face and the billing Tad Mullish from TV's Sun, Fun and Formentera.
What's the problem?
You're joking me, right? I left Sun, Fun and Formentera end of last season.
Season, not series. As if the word season alone was enough to win it a Golden Globe.
I've got my own YouTube channel now. Tad tells it straight.
Is that tells with a Z and straight with a figure eight?
You seed it?
Well, who hasn't?
I hadn't. I can think of better and more pleasurable ways to destroy brain cells.
The viewing figures for Sun, Fun and Formentera are like 250k. Tad tells it straight, got like 5 million subscribers.
I squinted at the poster.
I'm bringing in the audience and they can't be bothered to plug my channel.
My name was in a tiny font underneath the crisp manufacturer sponsoring the show.
This is disrespect, bruv.
So much for Morris's idea of a move up the billing. Then again, I didn't have a YouTube channel.
They treat me like a kid,
said the boy, sucking virtual banoffee pie out of a tube.
I tell you, bruv, I'm not having it.
Yeah, it's bad. And I don't mean good bad. Not bad as in good.
You're telling me it's bad? This is, like, serious.
Have you ever heard of a first world problem, Tad?
What, like hungry kids and shit?
Oh, lunchtime already.
Laters.
Tad wouldn't have known he was fulminating, but that's how I left him. If I walked fast enough, I could burn off the Regency Cafe's all-day gut buster. Who was I kidding? In my hurry, I collided head-on with Ken Palitzi's biggest fan, concealed behind six metallic balloons printed with Ken's face.
You better not have burst him!
Gloria, isn't it?
Recognising the actor who'd taken Ken's role, the fan-stroke stalker flashed me a Medusa stare.
There's a hiss.
What?
I can hear a hiss.
Really?
The silver one's deflated.
Let's have a look.
Don't let go of it.
I'll try and reinflate.
Oh, you can't. It's...
You're sticking around long.
Till they release his body.
Of course.
I want to be here when he leaves.
Sorry about the balloon.
She snapped it and left, rain cape flapping, no doubt on her way to erect another memorial to Ken.
Huh? Hey, Charles.
I hadn't seen Ken's right-hand man since he'd helped him escape his litigious wife. A short while later, I'd found Ken dead on the beach.
What is it with you and walking?
I can't help it, Larry. I'm British. We evolved with legs.
Join me for lunch.
I've got to warn you, Baron Hardup can't afford fine dining.
Ah, the hell with that.
In that case, take the first left. Do you know much about Ken's stalker, Van?
She's still hanging around.
Is she dangerous?
I've never spoken to her, but as stalkers go, she's employee of the month. Crazy but harmless. You're an actor. You know the type.
Well, the closest I've come to obsessive fans was being asked to sign a surgical stocking at Frinton Rep.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Take the next right.
Double egg, double bacon, double sausage, double hash brown with beans and black pudding, please.
Got it, sir.
The way Larry pushed the card aside, I just knew we were heading off menu.
Okay, so give me the bacon, lettuce and tomato bap. What is a bap?
A roll.
A bread roll?
Well, what other kind of roll is there?
I don't do carbs.
I'll have your carbs.
What else have we got here?
Egg and chips.
Carbs.
Ham, egg and chips.
Carbs.
Spaghetti on toast.
That's carbs on carbs.
Well, how about an omelette?
Okay, here we go. So, do me a single organic egg white omelette with...
A what?
I'm on statins.
How about a tuna salad?
You mean salad niçoise?
No, tuna salad.
Is it fresh tuna?
No!
Okay, give me a tuna salad. No dressing. What is it with your restaurants?
A British menu's a done deal, not a document for negotiation. I'm surprised you're still in the UK.
DCI Naylor asked, or rather told me, to stick around while they investigate Ken's death. Anyhow, somebody's got to do the paperwork. And Electra's flown back so she can work out the next move with her lawyers.
The latest, and as things turned out, last Mrs. Palitzi had come over especially to remind her soon-to-be ex that he'd better cave into her terms of divorce or else.
You speak to the cops?
At length, they asked me if he did drugs.
What did you say?
Well, I never saw him take anything.
The flicker of relief on Larry's face opened the door to my next question.
He did that, didn't he?
Ken's past was no secret.
Yeah, what about his present? Was he taking stuff here in the UK?
I wouldn't know.
You knew every time Ken blew his nose.
You want me to say I supplied him with coke?
Did you?
With all due respect, Charles, go to hell.
Can I take that as an admission?
Are the UK police so desperate they're employing actors as detectives?
Fair point. I'll go to DCI Naylor, tell her everything Electra told me.
Electra?
She said you'd supply Ken with anything he wanted.
One all-day breakfast, one tuna salad, no dressing. There's a sachet of salad cream. Sorry, it's not organic.
Cute. Okay, Charles. I'll be straight with you. Ken was my boss and my best friend. And when a friend needs help, you help. Ken needed certain substances to get him through the day. If I didn't procure them, somebody else would.
There was something restoration about procure, and a Hogarthian picture was emerging of a spoilt, overindulged Ken with his needy friend Larry, all-round skivvy and low-life companion.
Did you ever come across an actress called Willow Green?
Nope.
Says she knew Ken in L.A.?
So did a lot of actresses.
Not many ended up in the cast of Cinderella.
Certainly narrows the field.
Real name's Josie.
Still never heard of her.
The poker face was good. But the more he denied, the more I was convinced there was something worth denying.
So you were just Ken's Mr. Fix-It?
That pretty much sums up my terms of employment.
Did that ever include paying people off?
You've spent too much time listening to the lovely Electra. Girls were part of Ken's life. She knew that when she tied the knot. If he'd listened to me, there'd have been a clause in the prenup.
So an affair wouldn't have posed a threat?
To his marriage? You've met Electra. Nothing threatens the Wicked Witch of the West Coast. This is the worst tuna salad I have ever eaten in my entire life.
Next time, I recommend the carbs.
I might just do that.
You didn't kill Ken, did you?
You're lucky, Charles.
Why?
Before my anger management therapy, I'd have hit you for that.
With the small, wiry physique of a street fighter, I could well imagine Larry being a bit tasty in a punch-up.
So here's the truth. I'm still on the payroll. Part of our deal was that I'm on a percentage of royalties in all territories. For 15 years, damage limitation has been one of my main duties.
Must have been tricky at times.
Oh, beautiful British understatement. When Ken's addictions made the news, I had to manage each story. I had to make sure Ken could still function. I had to see the work kept coming in. Ken's back catalog is my pension fund. Why would I kill the goose that laid the golden egg? I'm out of here.
Don't you want a coffee?
Not if they do to coffee what they did to that tuna. Listen, we both want to find out who killed Ken. Right, so this is my number. I hear anything, I tell you. You hear anything, you tell me. 10 cover it?
Easily.
Right, girls, time to reveal your signature bakes. You first, dyspepsia.
This is my leftover turkey pie.
Did you leave it over a bonfire?
Ooh, cheeky silver-haired fox.
How about you, nausea? What have you made?
It's the Christmas trifle.
That's the tallest trifle I've ever seen.
It's the trifle tower.
I'll start with the pie.
Don't tell me I've got a soggy bottom. What is wrong with Tad? I didn't think it was possible to be more wooden, but I've acted with more animate furniture.
They got his billing wrong on the posters.
If he doesn't grow up, I'll take his billing and shove it up his
arm. One minute, Charles.
Yeah.
This show's turning into a pantomime.
You know how stuff comes to you when you're not trying?
Everything except money.
Well, I was in the shower and there it was.
She handed me a phone in a Hello Kitty case.
You had your phone in the shower?
No, I was in the shower when I remembered the last text Josie sent me. Read it.
Running late. Ty's good for me. Mine's a weeping tiger. What, weeping tiger?
Well, she loves steak.
Oh, right. You order, still not famous, but payback coming promise. What was it you saw in this?
Okay, just after Josie got back from the States, she opened a savings account for her LA haul.
Haul?
That's what she called it.
I thought the trip was a washout.
Work-wise, yeah, all knocking on doors and nothing happening.
So where'd the money come from?
I don't know.
Why did Larry's hyperactive face swim out of my subconscious?
Anyway, wherever it came from, it didn't last.
Why?
Love.
Love?
It's always love with Josie, and it always ends in tears. Usual story, meets guy, falls in love with guy, guy's the one, they're always the one. Surprise, surprise, guy dumps her, but not before she lends him money for a car. Bye-bye nest egg.
Any idea how much?
15 grand. Always a soft touch. After that, I lent her money to get her panda MOT'd and told her to pay me back when she was rich and famous.
Okay.
Read the text.
Still not famous or rich, but... payback coming promise.
Yeah, at the time, I thought she meant payback for the takeaway, but in the shower...
She might have meant payback the money you lent her.
Well, it might.
So maybe the one wasn't so bad after all and returned the loan.
He was last heard of flipping burgers in Sydney.
So where was the money coming from?
Exactly.
Have you told the police?
I think I should. Don't you?
DCI Naylor had her way of doing things, and I had mine. Sherlock would call it a three-pipe problem. But I couldn't afford that amount of tobacco. And even if I could, I'd have been banned from Southeastern Railways. Then again, who needed a pipe when I had Francis, a loft, and incipient silicosis?
What if Josie...
Baubles!
I beg your pardon?
That box behind you.
Oh, well, what if she... What if she went to the beach that night to get money out of Ken?
With what?
A gun.
You could hold up a bank with a gun. Surely she'd need to have something on Kent to extort money from him.
He was already in the middle of a litigious divorce, and as Larry said, nothing threatens Electra.
What's she like?
Electra. Another actress with the effrontery to grow old in Tinseltown.
Bare-faced cheek.
And now she's out for everything she can get from Ken's estate.
Was she ruthless enough to shoot him?
Nah, she's too smart for guns. Her weapon of choice is a team of Madison Avenue lawyers in handmade suits.
Fairy lights. Box one.
Steady on. Oh, God, I've just inhaled a century of dust.
You've inhaled worse.
Oh.
Right, we need box two, the tree base, and my festive centrepiece.
Festive centrepiece.
Mind your head on
the rafters. Can we please get out of here before I do myself a serious injury?
Box two.
Oh.
Just the tree base and festive centrepiece to go.
Bloody.
You know, I hate to ruin your fun, but just because a girl goes missing doesn't mean she's a murderer.
Ooh, well, a bit of a coincidence, though.
The law requires more than a bit of a coincidence.
Go on then, DCI Tennyson.
Okay, what about the stalker?
Everyone says she's nuts but harmless.
They're always harmless till bang!
There's a real dark side to you.
You love it. Tree base.
Oh, goody.
How about the dim haircut?
Tad.
You said Ken snubbed him on the first day of rehearsals.
He didn't remember meeting him.
Just as he didn't remember meeting Josie. Suddenly, she and Tad have the same motive for killing Ken. Except it's not a motive. It's just being a bit miffed.
Your point being?
Apart from the fact that you're an actor, not a homicide detective.
Point taken. I can see your centrepiece.
If that line's not in Cinderella, I'm not coming.
Never a dull moment in Panto. Just as I was getting to grips with Baron Hardup...
What is it now?
Tad's throwing a front-of-house hissy fit about his billing. Trouble is, no-one's happy with his performance, so his bargaining power may not be as strong as he thinks.
This panto is rapidly turning into a farce.
A farce I can work with. A fiasco's another matter. What's your understudy like?
Good. Quick on the uptake. Why?
See you around, guys. Good luck with the show.
As one door closes, another door opens. What size shoes do you take?
Why? In what was fast becoming an Alice in Wonderland game of musical chairs, my understudy took over Baron Hardup while I donned a pair of stilettos to rehearse an ugly sister dance routine with Danny.
I'm shaking!
The player's gonna play. Hey. I'm gonna shake. I shake it off.
No!
Breaker's gonna break. Oh, my bloody ankle.
Oh, what have I done to deserve this?
It's my ankle.
Sorry, Charles.
Oh.
Come and have some ice for Charles.
Okay, take five.
How can you dance in stilettos?
Ginger Rogers said the same as Fred Astaire, only in high heels and backwards.
Oh.
Let's have a look.
That
hurt?
No.
That?
No.
Oh, how about this? Good.
Well, how can that be good?
Nothing hot and cold treatment won't sort out.
Dancers are a whole different breed.
Oh, recognition at last.
Oh.
Here, I'll stretch your leg.
Thanks. Oh, that's me.
You really shouldn't have your phone inside your corset.
I'm an actor. My entire life's on this. Oh, no, not another mad... Oh.
What?
The last two were threatening. This one's a smiley face, winky face and thumbs up.
You've done something right.
I wish I knew what. Did you tell the police about Josie and the money?
Anne spent another hour with DCI Naylor going back over everything in case there was anything else I'd missed.
Was there?
Don't think so. She made me go right back to when Josie and I first met at Conti's.
Were you always planning to dance?
No, we were on the performing arts course doing a bit of everything.
So Josie dropped out before she got her degree?
It wasn't a degree course. You have to be 18 to get on that.
Oh, so how old was she when she dropped out?
16.
She went to LA on her own at 16.
She was always mature for her age.
Deciding it was better to miss a rehearsal than lose yet another dame, I dosed up on anti-inflammatories and they packed me off to my dressing room with a heated pad and an ice pack. Under strict instructions not to drink, I consoled myself with an antique sausage roll I found at the back of my fridge.
Mmm.
Yes, Morris.
Are you drunk?
I wish, but I'm not allowed with the drugs.
What?
I've sprained a muscle dancing.
Oh, thank God for that.
Cheers for the sympathy.
Well, maybe this'll help the pain. I'm clutching a revised Cinderella contract hot off the printer, and your fee's gone up.
Yes! Ow!
It won't buy you that villa in Mustique, but Bob Cratchit can afford a bigger bird for his Christmas dinner. Shall I sign?
Yes, sign.
Morris Skellen, done. I'll get Pixie to scan it and send it straight back. Right. I'll let you get back to your deep heat.
Oh, Morris.
Yes?
You don't happen to know the age of consent in Los Angeles?
Oh, my God. What have you done?
No, I'm just sitting here doing a crossword, and I wondered if you knew.
Ah, well, as it happens, I do know about that sort of stuff for when we send out our child clients. Let me just check. Los Angeles. Ah, yes, thought so. Age of consent, 18. Helpful?
Maybe it was acid reflux from the sausage roll, but something left a bad taste in my mouth.
To hell with no drinking.
What now? Another anonymous text, but this time just a maps link and the name Josie. Sneaking out through the stage door, eyes glued to my phone, I limped the back streets of Margate following the little blue arrow which led me to an alley under some old railway arches. The arrow stopped at a checkered flag telling me I'd reached my destination, a derelict graffiti-covered lock-up.
Hello? Anyone in?
The whole alley looked abandoned, so I gave the rusty up and over a kick. The lower edge shifted. I didn't want my prints over everything, so I stuck my hand in my coat pocket, twisted the handle, pulled, and pushed. Well, well. Not your classic Top Gear viewer. I wouldn't know a Ford from a Ferrari. But the lime green car was unmistakably Josie's Fiat Panda. There was no light, but as my eyes accustomed to the gloom...
Oh, God.
Josie was slumped back in the driver's seat. At least I assumed it was Josie. There wasn't much left to identify. Opening the car door, the interior light flickered on, revealing the fingers of her right hand still wrapped around a small gun.
In episode 3 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Danny was Sean Baker, Tad, Sam Ricks, Kitty, Kirsty Oswald, Larry, Nick Underwood, Gloria, Elizabeth Bennett, and the waiter, Tom Forrester. The Cinderella Killer was written by Jeremy Front and based upon the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.